Grab your Bibles and let's jump into the Word of God. Just want to tell you what the scoop is there. And so it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Well, as I'm going to continue our series here on, we've been talking about open heaven and how heaven opens through our lives and how we as God's people need to allow heaven to move through us. Someone say, heaven come. And we've been on this series here, and if you're joining us first time, it's all good. You can jump right into where we're at. But we've been looking about how heaven comes through our lives, and we are to pray the perfect prayer of Jesus, which is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 16 in this series of messages, and we're going to come upon a time where Jesus is going to ask the disciples who he is and how he wants to build his church. Verse 13, read with me here. The Bible reads like this. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, the Bible says, he asked, saying, who do men say that I am? And so who is Jesus talking to? His disciples. He's like, who do people say that I am? And so they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They're like, people say you're all this stuff. But I like in verse 15, Jesus says, he said to them, but who do you say I am? In other words, it don't matter what other people say. Don't matter what they say on Facebook. No matter what they say on YouTube. Don't matter what they say at the colleges. It matters who do you say he is. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, what rock? That Jesus is the Christ. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. Thank you, Jesus. The gates of hell won't prevail. And he says, I will give you the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus made this promise that no gate in hell shall prevail. But you have to use the keys that God gave you. We're talking about opening heaven. I want to share with you part two of a message entitled, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail, on this Palm Sunday. Would you pray with me? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we invite you into this place and into this space. God, I'm asking that you speak to us, every one of us here at church today, God. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move in such a mighty way that we would never, ever be the same, Father. We don't just want you to move on the outside. Lord, we're asking you to move on the inside. God, we don't just want to see you move around us. We want you to see you move in us. So Holy Spirit, speak to us, challenge us, and build our faith that we may live after your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, no gate in hell shall prevail. Come on, tell them, no gate in hell shall prevail. I want to continue our series of messages where we're talking about heaven moving through our lives. The intent of heaven, or the goal of God, is that when we come to faith or we come into a relationship with Jesus, is that every believer would be a conduit, or for lack of a better term, a portal in which heaven moves through our lives. That's the goal of God, is that you and I would let heaven move through our lives. Because there are really only two choices. Either we let heaven come through us, or we let hell come through us. You met anybody in your life that has released hell? Don't point. Come on, somebody. Just, that is possible. But the goal of God is that we as believers, as followers of Christ, that we would allow and say, God, you save me so that the kingdom of heaven can move through me and the world can see that, God, you are at work on planet Earth. We're to be the light of the world. The city on a hill, as the Bible says, the salt of the earth. And that's the goal of God. And, you know, that process for every believer is a process that allows us to show God to the world. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but that does mean that God is working through you and showing this world who God is. Now, I know the world's crazy. You may think, well, Pastor, the world's crazy. I know this world's crazy. I know a few people that are crazy. Just look straight, okay? But that doesn't give us permission to be crazy. Come on, somebody. How many know that things can go crazy around you, but they don't have to be crazy in you? Follow what I'm saying? So we are called to live in this place because there is a real enemy that has attacked. Now, in the verses we just read, allow me just to recap for a few minutes here, then we'll jump straight into today's teaching. I want to share on these gates that the enemy uses. But in the verses we read, Jesus begins to teach his disciples about who he is. But he starts with this question. He says, who do people say I am? In other words, what's the word on the street? People, you know, people say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. People like have their opinions, right? This person on YouTube says this. This person over here. Everybody has their opinion. And then Jesus says, well, that's great, but who do you say I am? Because the quintessential question of every person is, who do you say God is? Because when it all comes down to it, we will not stand judgment for what someone else says God is. You're going to stand judgment for who you say Jesus is. So I don't care how many degrees. You got more degrees than a thermometer, okay? I don't care what they say. What matters is what we say in the place of faith of who Jesus is. And we know, that's why we gather on this Palm Sunday, that he entered into Jerusalem because there is only one way to the Father. There is no other way but through Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen? So he came to do this, and Jesus makes the statement, says, upon this rock, Peter says, you're the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, because God's goal is to build his church. He wants to build his church. It is God loves his church. God died for his church. He redeemed his church. He forgave his church. And I know church is not perfect. Church, the church has issues. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. Say amen. Right, y'all, remember? Here's the steeple. Open the door and there's the people. Come on. No, that's not okay. Sunday school. Right, the church is the people. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're the church. God wants to build his church. He wants to see it be built up in faith, built up in strength, built up in numbers, not to be a weak church, not to be a dysfunctional church, but to be a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, a church that is focused, a church that knows who they are and whose they are, a church that isn't lost but is found in Christ, a church that is not perfect but is forgiven, a church that knows from where their help comes from, it comes from the Lord, a church that doesn't follow culture, a church that doesn't follow what's popular. We follow the purposes of heaven. Somebody say amen. God says, I'm going to build my church. That's why, you know, God, what is God doing? He wants to build up his church, and that's why we build our church. Then God makes this promise, and he says, and no gate in hell shall prevail against the church. And I want just to emphasize this point. God did not say that about anything else but his church. He did not make that promise about government. He didn't say no gate in hell shall prevail against government. He didn't say no gate in hell shall prevail against a club or an organization. He said, only my church, the promise is hell will not prevail. This is why it's important that you're a part of the church. This is why it's important that your family's a part of the church. This is why it's important your marriage is a part of the church. This is why it's important that your business is founded in the things of God in the church. This is why it's important that every goal is connected to the purpose and church of God. Why? Because when you're a part of the church, no gate in hell can prevail. Come on, somebody. This is why I bring my kids to church. Because I'm like, you're not going to, the only way hell won't prevail is not because you're a part of something else. It's only when you're a part of what Jesus is building. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a part of the church. Just say, I'm a part of the church. You're here. Come on, you're a part. You're a part. We're all a part. And he makes this promise, no gate in hell shall prevail. Now, here's where I'm going into today's teaching, and I gave you a long outline, and I'm going to try to get as much as I can, but point number three, I'm going to preach next Sunday for Easter Sunday, as it's all going to culminate this whole series we've been on to the pinnacle point of what I want to share on Easter. But gates, Jesus reveals to us that hell has gates. Track with me here, okay? Hell has gates. Jesus is perfect theology. He said, no gate in hell shall prevail. So the theological point here is that what tries to stop heaven from moving through our lives are gates that are from hell. Okay? Now, if you're new to Freedom House, welcome to Freedom House. But I always do analogies, so hope you like them. If you don't, I apologize in advance. But bring those gates out if you can for me. Bring those gates out if you can for me. And so we talked in the weeks that, right, up here, you would say, well, there's a door and a window because heaven has doors, heaven has windows, and hell has gates. And we've been talking about this series. But Jesus reveals that hell has gates. Now, these two guys up here, They're great guys, but for now, you guys are playing demons, okay? Okay, I'll pray for you after service. I just need you to be demons for the next 30 minutes. Just okay, go on. All right. So they're demons, okay? And what the strategy, track with me here, okay? I know it's Palm Sunday, and Jesus entered on Palm Sunday for the intent to show you that no gate should limit, no gate should hold back what God wants to do. Watch me now, on earth as it is in heaven. And this picture that Jesus gives, he says that hell has gates, and this gate is trying to limit or engate the church, engate God's people from extending heaven through their lives. Now, gates don't attack people. Gates limit people. So when we talk about hell having gates, we're talking about how hell tries to limit you. And I want to share with you three specific gates over the next 2 weeks. It'll culminate on Easter Sunday. But today, this is the first gate that the enemy uses that I've had to overcome in my life, that I'm telling you you're going to have to overcome in your life if the true kingdom of heaven will move through our families, our marriages, our lives, and on this earth. Someone say amen. Number one, write this down. It is the gate of fear. It's the gate of fear. The devil is a bully. He is a bully, and he tries to intimidate you. He tries to put fear in us, tries to seize God's people, to live their walk with God behind a gate of fear. Close that up. Because hell has gates. And the gate of fear is a gate that the enemy puts on every believer's life to stop us from stepping forward in faith. And there are a lot of believers that they're going to heaven, but they live in fear every day. And they only dream about or only sometimes imagine what it would be, but every day it's behind a gate of fear. Now, let me read this verse and then I'll get to what fear is. But here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And let's read this together. It's the word of God here. The Bible says, For has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of what? A power of love and what? A sound mind. And I want to show you here because it's so important. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. It is important to know what God gave you, but it's equally important to know what God didn't give you. And when you know God didn't give me that, then that means I don't have to accept it when it shows up into my life, into my emotions, into my mind, and into my faith. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, when fear comes, try to grip me and seize me, seize my life or arrest my life from living in a place of faith, that I need to identify that that is not of God. And when you know something is not of God, then you have the authority, you have the biblical backing to tell that spirit of fear, I will not live by fear, I will live by faith, because God didn't give me fear, but instead God gave me power, God gave me his love, and God gave me a sound mind. And I'm not going to live by fear, but I'm going to live by faith in what God did give me. Now, if I was you, I would just underline those three words that God did give you. He gave you what? Power. He gave you what? His love. And he gave you what? Sound mind. A disciplined mind. This is what God gave me. So that means when things try to show up, the gate of fear in my life, I need to recognize this is not of God. And that's okay to say that. It's not of God. And you need to identify, because we live in a world that is driven by fear. So we need believers that live by faith. They may say, well, you might be here saying, Pastor, well, there's just a lot going on in the world. And to that point, I would agree. There are a lot of reasons that you can be fearful. But that doesn't mean you have to succumb to the fear. Doesn't mean you have to live by the fear. Okay? Yeah, it's a crazy world out there. I mean, it is, you know. But we are never, watch me now, going to extend the kingdom is if we as people of faith always live, you can stay like that, live behind the gates of fear. Does that make sense? Like, the kingdom will never come if the people of God live behind the gate of fear. So what is fear? If you can write, jot this down somewhere. Fear doesn't always show up like that. Because you might be like, Pastor, I ain't afraid. Man, I'll slap anybody. Too soon. Sorry. No, don't slap nobody, please. Anyway, sorry. Okay. I'm not afraid of nobody, man. You know, I got no fear. Okay. All right. Well, let's find out what fear really is, because fear doesn't just show up as woo. Okay. Fear shows up as worry. You worry a lot. You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about this. You're worried about that. And it's robbing you of your peace. You're under a spirit of fear because you're more worried about the obstacles than seeing the opportunity that God can do. Fear sees obstacles. Faith sees opportunity. Come on, somebody. So how do you know if you're operating in spirit of fear? It's worry has arrested your life. You're worried every day. You're worried, 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 worried. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned. Pray for your kids, but you got to live by faith, not by worry. How do you know if you're operating by fear? You're arrested by anxiety. You're anxious, and so you make quick decisions that are always wrong instead of being patient and waiting for God to speak to you. That's fear. You got fear of missing out all the time. So you're making these irrational decisions and it's a cycle in your life because you're afraid. Well, what if, and it's driving you to the wrong actions. Fear also shows up in ways of stress and worry, and fear also shows up. This one's deep. Track with me here. Fear shows up as procrastination. What are you afraid of? Why are you procrastinating that? What are you afraid of? Why have you not done what God is telling you to do? Because fear shows up as procrastination. Some of us see God has been speaking about something to you that you've been putting off week after week, month after month, year after year. And you're like, well, it's just, you're not saying no, you're just saying not yet. And God is saying, but I never, I'm just going to live back here, Lord. I mean, I know I love you, I'm going to heaven, but I don't know what life is on the other side of the gate of fear. And Satan will let you worship God, close the gate behind this. He'll let you, and we live behind, we're arrested by this fear. We're gripped by this demonic spirit of fear that doesn't let us put our faith in display. And we're saying we're using wisdom, but the truth is we're just not letting God fully use our life, and we're afraid of our own light. Come on, somebody. What will they say? What will they think? What will they do? And see, God did not call us to live by a spirit of fear. He called us to live by a spirit of faith, power, love, and a sound mind, because fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. It's what the devil uses to prevent God's people from living the life God has called them to live. And God says, I don't want you to live by fear. I want you to live by faith. And when it comes to living by faith, it's not about success and it's not about failure. Living by faith is about living by obedience. But what if I fail? That's not up to you. It's you got to be obedient to what God called you to do. I'm not going to let the gate of fear, fearful over what could happen or fearful over tomorrow. And fear will arrest your life and not let God move through your life. And every step of my life, this is something I've had to overcome. I'm just telling you honest. I mean, every step of my life that I've ever done something for God, I've had to first overcome fear. Like real talk, you know. I remember when I to become a Christian, to get saved, I was afraid. Well, what will people think of me? What will my friends say? Am I going to lose my friends? Am I going to become one of those Bible thumpers? And fear will show up at the moment God tries to get you just to live for him. I'm telling you. Here comes the gate of fear. You hear the gates clack, 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 clack. But I said, no, man, I'm going to live by faith. And if I lose friends, they were never my friends, because I need Jesus, somebody. You know what I mean? Real talk. And the truth is, I did lose some quote unquote, that people that I thought were friends, because your true friends will celebrate when you're getting better with God. That's just real talk, okay? And anyone who doesn't celebrate you getting right with God, that ain't a friend. That is a frenemy. That is an enemy. Come on, somebody. That's just real talk. And so, coming to Christian. I remember I was even afraid to get married. Would I be a good husband? You know, I don't know. What am I going to be? Am I going to be mean? Can I even, I was afraid to get married. You know, I mean, I know she's the one, Lord, but am I ready? I was afraid to have kids. And I'm still afraid. I'm joking. Come on, somebody. These kids, you know what I'm saying? They're expensive. You know, I was like, I'm joking. Every day. I'm afraid I can't, man. I don't know about all these kids, man. It's a crazy world out there, man. People, like, it's not how it used to be. You know, we used to be a go ask our neighbor for sugar. Now you know what they put in that sugar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fear. It's a joke, by the way, okay? It's like, I remember I was afraid. I remember going to college, going to school. Man, I'm afraid to, but what if I go in school and you know, playing at other levels? I played college football, and I was like, well, what if I don't have what it takes? And fear. I remember when I got my first actual career, you know, and I was like, you know, I just can't. And again, everybody has to start somewhere, so don't misinterpret what I'm preaching here. But I remember I was like, you know what? I can't just have jobs. I need a career. You know, like, I got to provide for my family, and I got to get serious about this stuff. Come on, get a better amen, man. Come on, somebody. See, you should have brought your teenagers to church. You know, like, got to get serious. And so I remember I was going to go apply for my first, like, career job, and I was afraid, like, oh, man, am I going to bomb the interview? And there was an opportunity for me to get into investments, and you know, man, you know my testimony, but I have my Series 7, you remember New York Stock Exchange, all that stuff, you know, real estate, and I'm like, man, who am I to do that? And that's, like, big-time stuff, and I remember I was afraid, but I said, you know what, God, I'm going to go anyway. I got the favor of God in my life, and I'll never know if I just live behind fear. So I went, and I actually got the job, and I was like, whoa, this stuff works. You know what I mean? Like, and I got hired and built my got a career and was able to be a blessing to my family, to the house of God. And I've always had this goal. I was like, Lord, I want to be a testimony that you can be spiritual and successful, that you don't have to sell your soul to be successful. Come on, that's real talk. I want to be a light to the world. I don't got to live like the devil to be successful. I can live for God and show people that my God blesses those who bless him and honor him. Can I get a bigger amen? And so then started doing well, and then it was an opportunity. I was like, you know, I want to start my own business. I want to be an entrepreneur. And of course, I built my book of business and, that, you know, working in sales and investments and all. And so I'm going to build my own business. I'm going to start my own mortgage company, my own real estate company. And I went and got all my licenses. I remember I sat down and talked with my father-in-law, and I kind of told him, hey, pray for me. It's what I'm thinking about doing. And you know, I'm going to, you know, think about starting my own business now, working for myself. And I said, let me pay for your lunch. He's like, no, I'm going to pay for your lunch. You're married to my daughter. You're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, cool. And so I remember I started my own company, and because, again, I wanted to be a blessing, I wanted to give jobs, and but then doubt, fear, well, who are you to start a business, and who are you to be able to do this, and what do you know, and how are you going to be able to manage it? How do you know, God, what it takes? But I'm like, you know what? God, I'm not going to live behind fear. Started a business, did well, and went for it, and all of that. And I'll just tell you right now, for those that desire to I don't want to buy somewhere for myself so I can be lazy. Don't do that. You have to work more, okay? So anyhow. All of that, though, was training ground. Because then God would later speak to me. And I'm just telling you my testimony. I pray this speaks to you, because I know that at some level, fear is going to show up to your doorstep to not be the light of the world, to not step into the fullness of living by faith and extending the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I was able to witness to my employees. They came to work. I'm like, we praying. We reading the Bible. We're going to do the way God. I'm telling you. Come on, somebody. You know, like, can you do that? It's my company. Come on. You know, so, you know, I was able to be a light. And then the big call came, because everything's training ground to when God's going to call you. Because then God spoke to me to begin Freedom House. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know about all that. Like, what? I mean, I'm good, Lord. And God spoke to me to be his vessel, to begin Freedom House. And I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, God, I can't do that. What am I going to say? Like, what? Like, you want to know why I study so much even to this day? Because I want to have something to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get up and be like, yeah, so what do you guys want to talk about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say? Like, who am I? And then came all the fear. I can't talk. Like, I mean, you know, this is like a whole nother level, you know? Like I can't do this Christian. Like I'm a Christian. I love you, Lord, but doing this whole thing, I don't know, Lord. And just fear. And I'm distant. Some of y'all don't know this, but I still get nervous to this day. Before I step on to teach, I always say, I trust in you, God, not my gift. I remember, and sorry for the if it's grossed you out, but I remember like the first year I was preaching, I would throw up right before I preached. I'd be like, "How's all y'all doing? Okay, today I go to the stage, be like, what happened to Pastor? What's up, y'all? You know, good thing you know I wasn't close to people. You know, I'm just like, I would just throw up. I'm like, what am I? I'm like, oh Lord, because it's just fear grabs you, and if I woulda let the fear grip me, there would be no Freedom House today. There wouldn't be God moving if I just live safe back here thinking, well, you know, who am I? Because it's not about me. It's not even about who I am. It's not even about what I got. It's about who God is and what God can do, and He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, if there be a willing vessel who says, I won't live by fear, but I will live by faith, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound. Somebody give God some praise, like we got faith up in this house. Shout amen. Tell your neighbor, don't live by fear. Because it only comes down to two choices. You can live this Christian walk. You can either live by fear or you can live by faith. That's it. Like, I'm sorry if like you were looking for something more deep, but that's actually deep because it's so foundational. Are you afraid of your own light? Because see, some people are actually afraid of God actually using them. Because we feel safer in the shadow. And although this may seem safer, this does not change the world for God. What changes the world for God is you say, I will, no gate in hell shall prevail against my life. But I believe that you can do what you said you can do. That's why I love what Luke says. Watch this verse, Luke 1:45. It's a powerful verse. The Lord said, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I love that verse. He's like, you want to know why you're blessed? Because you believe God would do what he said he would do. Like, that sounds so to me, like, practical. Like, you know the only reason why God is blessed? I guess I was as simpleton to say, God, I believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Like, Call me. I don't consider myself, you know, a genius. I just consider myself obedient to God. I believe that he's going to do what he said he can do. That if he was for me, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said that if God be for me, who cares who's against me? I believe that he said I was forgiven. I believe that he said that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I believe that he said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that he said that what the enemy meant for bad, God would turn for the good, Genesis 50. I believe that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I believe Luke 1:37 that nothing shall be impossible with God. I believe that for God so loved the world that he sent his son just for me. I believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that neither life nor death nor demon nor angel nor height nor depth nor width can separate me from the love of God. I just believe what he said he would do, and I'm going to step out in faith because I don't live by no gate of fear, and no gate shall prevail against my home, my house, my kids, and what God has called me to do. Happy Palm Sunday. Come on, put your palms together for the Lord. Put those palms. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. To him be the honor and the praise to all generations in the house of the Lord. To him his praises be in the lips of his believers. May his praise and his glory go to heaven for every action we have done, for every success. May it point people that if it had not been for the blood of Jesus, if you had not entered into Jerusalem, I would not be able to enter into my future. Shout hallelujah. Say Hosanna. God save us. God, use my life. Don't live by fear. The gate of fear, man, it's trying to prison you. You see, fear won't send you to hell unless you're afraid to give your life to Jesus. But outside of that, a believer that lives by fear won't send you to hell. It will just stop heaven from moving through your life. Fear shows up in procrastination. What's holding you back? What can God not do? Let's do this. What is hard for God? What's hard for him? Nothing. Fully surrendered. Let God use your life. I love what Isaiah says, 41, and I'm done here. And I'll share one last story after this verse, and I'll be out of your way. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, and next Sunday, invite somebody to Easter Sunday. We're going to culminate this whole series with a boom for Easter Sunday. That'll catapult us, I believe. Easter Sunday is like the Christian New Year. That's when we just go, all things new, Lord, you know? The Lord said this to his people in Isaiah. Context, God's people were actually in captivity. When God was telling them what we're about to read, they were behind the metaphorical gates. They were during a hard time, and God was saying, I am going to free you. I want you to step into what I still have the plan and purpose for your life. And this is what God told them in Isaiah 41:10. You need to highlight this verse in your Bible. You need to remember this verse. Actually, when I played football, this is the verse that I had on my shoulder pads. I had a sticker on my shoulder pads. And I would always pray it before the football games, and I'd always have this. It was boom, right over my heart on the shoulder pads. It's what the Lord said. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is not to offend left-handed people, okay? But the right hand meant the strength of God. Go back a verse, please, because there are five. These are the five pillars of living with no fear, right here. If you are stricken by any spirit of fear, because fear is a spirit, God has not given you a spirit of fear. It's a demonic spirit. These are the five pillars. Why should I not be afraid? Number one, because God's with you. So if God is with me, I'm not afraid because he's with me. It's like when I was in elementary in the schoolyard, and if my older brother was with me, I had no fear. My brother will mess y'all up. Okay, that's how we need to be when we go through life. We walk in, be like, God's with me. I wish you would try to mess with me. You see him, you know, like God's with me. That's why the Bible says, do not. And if anybody tries to do you harm, you don't got to get revenge, because the Lord says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, okay? God, he going to deal with it. So anybody does you dirty or rips you off, just know God is going to, you don't mess with God's people. That's real talk, okay? He says, pillar one, you don't have to fear. Why? Because I'm with you. Pillar two, why do you have to not be afraid? Because he's your God. And if he's God, that means he is creator of all. So he's with me, but he's not with me just as a friend. He's not with me just as, you know, as a hype man. Yo, you got it. Go. He's with me, and he's God, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who's with me is God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if he's God, then he's in charge of it all. And nothing is too strong for him. So why should I be in fear if he's God? Third reason why you should not live in fear, because he says, I'll strengthen you. So whatever weakness you think you have, God says, I will give you the portion of strength you need to live by faith, to live in freedom, to be where God called you. He'll give you the portion of strength every day, the grace, the strength. Like, how do I do? People always say, Pastor, I even do this. I do it because he gives me strength. That's the only way I can do this. I don't rely on myself. Number two, he says, I will strengthen you. Number three, I'll strengthen you. Number four, he says, I'm going to help you. Anybody need a little help? Two people. Okay. Got your back. Anybody need a little help from God? Come on, somebody. Yes. So God says, when you obey me, he says, I'm going to help you when you step out here. He says, I'm going to be your help, the Holy Spirit. And then number five, he says, I'm going to uphold you. You know what that means, uphold? Ooh, get this picture. To uphold you means that he doesn't only have your back. I got your back. Go. He doesn't go before you, your front. God says, I also got you from the bottom. I'm holding you up. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to sustain you. These are the five pillars why you can be fearless. Because when God works through you, it is powerful. You see, fear tries to hold us back from extending the kingdom of God. And I just want to share this last story because if we let fear grip us, then we'll never be used by God, especially when it comes to being a light for Jesus. And I'll never forget, one of the hardest things for me to do to not let fear grip me was to share the gospel of Jesus. Because there's a lot of believers that the one thing that stops them from telling someone about Jesus is fear. What will they think about me? What will they say? Will they laugh at me? You holy roller. You know? And I had to get over that fear. Because God didn't just call us to be people of faith in church when we're around a bunch of people of faith. He called us to be people of faith when we're around the unbelievers. Around people who don't believe in God. I'll take the four claps. You're like, no? Nope. Okay. Because the only way we're going to extend the kingdom of God is not only talking about God when we're at church, but it's pointing people to God when we're in a broken world that needs to know about Jesus. And what hinders is people live by fear. And I know, because I was there. I've been there. Where it's like, man, but if I tell them I'm a Christian, now they're going to expect me to be Christian. And I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Real talk, okay? And I remember as I was, working in the business world and working in corporations, because you go to work, how many know some of these places are ungodly? Okay, come on, somebody. I mean, hey, it's ungodly. They'd be like, well, man, if you just knew, Pastor, like, well, there's a whole mission field right there. And when I worked, I remember when I first started in the first brokerage that I worked at in investments, I mean, I was just the bottom of the barrel, right? I was the new person. I was just like, you know, you're the one who does do what we tell you, you know? I was just happy to be there, first career job. But the top broker, let me say this. Whenever I would start a new job, I put this into my life is when I would start a new job or a career, I would find a way to let people know that I'm a believer. Now, I wouldn't stand on the desk going, everybody, I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm not telling you to do that. Huh? But the way I would do that is as people would ask me, hey, how was your weekend? I would say, it's good, spent time with the kids, Saturday and Sunday went to church. It was a great message. And then just chilled out of the house, And it's right there. Oh, you're one of those, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just slide it in, right? Because a lot of times what happens is we go to our jobs, we go, how was your weekend? You're like, oh, it's cool, man, just chilled. But on Sunday, you're like, Lord, use me. God, I love you. Father, heal me. I'm like, so it was just normal weekend? I mean, because you were all laid out on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, pretty transforming weekend, So just, oh, it's cool, man. Like, as simple as that, because right there, you're like, oh, you're one of those. That's a great message, man. Yeah, God spoke to me. It's pretty cool. I'm not even inviting them. I'm just telling them how my weekend was. Because they're usually like, oh, here you go. I'm not saying nothing. Just, it was awesome. It's cool. Oh, cool. Okay. And then what I would do sometimes my lunch, I'd just read my Bible on a break, just grab my Bible. And in my lunch, read my Bible. The top broker walks in, this top guy, and he was just, we'll use the word pompous. He was pompous. If you don't know what that means, you learned a new word in church at least today, okay? Just look it up. Pompous. Real flamboyant. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you believe in that book of fairy tales? I said, oh, he's interested. Because you're going to find out that the ones who make fun of you
are the ones God's been working on. You're going to learn that the ones who are like the hardest is because God's been messing with them. It's like, oh, you interested, huh? In my head, I go, yeah, I believe in this book. It's transformed my life. And yeah, man, I believe it. Cool. Whatever. Grab his lunch. Yeah. Next time, you know, a couple weeks back, you know, he says, so, saw me read my Bible during lunch. Says, so like, where do you start? The beginning or the end? Or how do you read that? I got one, Jesus. I got one. He's a fighter. You know what I'm saying? So you just started the New Testament, you know, Old Testament talks about the history. The New Testament is Jesus. Weeks pass by. Holy Spirit speaks to me. Buy him a Bible. I was like, Lord, what if he just throws it on the floor? Throws it in the trash? What if he like just cusses me out or something? Lord says, buy him a Bible. I said, all right. Went to the Christian bookstore and you put the name on it. So I put his name on it and went the next day. And when you work in investments, you have to be there super early because the stock exchange opens, you know, Eastern time, 8:30. So I got there even super early. And so I just put the Bible on his desk and snuck out, you know, like, oh man, this may blow up. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. This can go really bad, you know? So I put it on there. He came in. I was like, ooh, any moment now, you know? And he comes in. Who put this on my desk? Did you put this on my desk? I go, yeah. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. He goes, all right, whatever. Well, you just wasted your money. Don't worry. Whatever. No, okay, cool. Because it's not my, listen, it is not my job to convert people. And I think sometimes we as believers, the reason we live in fear is because we think we got to convert people or convince people. You are not called to convert or convince people. You are simply called to connect people to God. That's all I'm got to do. God, you do the rest. That's it. Connect you to God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Okay. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Because we'll never win people to Jesus just back there. So I give them the Bible, and I say, okay, whatever. So weeks pass by, and I put my name, my number, hey, if you ever need anything, right, prayer, whatever. Weeks pass by, and I don't hear anything. Okay, cool, whatever. I get a phone call, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's him. Okay. Josiah! This Bible. I started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. So I just put on my running shoes and I ran in the middle of the night and I found myself in the middle of a junior high field. Fell to my knees and I want to tell you, I asked God into my life and you're the first person I wanted to tell. He was crying. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, yo, this stuff works. I was like, what? And I pray for him, of course, discipleship after him. But all I'm trying to tell someone, and I am trying to fire you up because Easter is coming, and I just want to know, you cannot live behind the gate of fear if we're going to change the world for the glory of God. Let God use your life. Be the light that someone needs. Let someone know the same Jesus that changed your life, that healed your marriage, that forgave you of your sin, that broke you free of your addictions. Let somebody else know that God. Don't you let a gate hold it back because you have been redeemed. You have been forgiven. No, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to point people to a perfect God because God will bring the change. Come on, somebody. Shout amen.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.